Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Good to see everyone in the new year. How are you guys? Like, how's the new year so far? It's perfect. How is the new year so far? Just, how is the new year so far? It's rough. Ah, so for some it's wild, it's rough, it's crazy, it's good. 12 days into it and it's already wild. Interesting. All right, so I want us to do something different today as we start the sermon and the like. I want us to sing a song. Yeah, a song. A song that just to appreciate God. God has brought us this far. You know, some people did not see 20. We're in 2019. And we are in 2019, you know? And so we need to thank God for all the things that He has done. Right now, you guys are breathing. You're breathing, right?
Yes.
You're in good health. We need to thank God for that. So I ask all of us to stand. And I know I did not ask Kasali. Just one chorus. I'll tell you the chorus too. It's a quick one. There's this song that we sing in church, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Just need us to sing the chorus. I'll even switch off my mic because my voice... Oh, no. I give you this, huh?
Hello?
So, just the chorus. Then after that, I'll pray and then we'll start.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Let's sing it one more time. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yes, God. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name.
Father, we want to thank You for Your goodness. We want to thank You for Your love. We want to thank You for all the great things that You've done for us, O God. Thank You that we are alive in 2019, O God. And You have great plans for us in 2019, O God. And thank You, Father, that good health is our portion in 2019, O God. Long life is our portion in 2019, O God. Thank You, Father, that goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our lives, O God. Thank You, Father, that You are providing for our financial needs.
Amen.
Thank You, Father, that our family will be in peace, O God.
Amen.
Thank You, Father, that love will abound in our families,
Amen.
O God. Thank You, Father, that You're giving us wisdom, O God. You're giving us grace, O Lord. For those of us who are at school, O God, You're giving us supernatural wisdom even as we study, O God. Thank You, Father, for everything that You'll be doing in our lives this year, O God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's sit down. All right, so We are starting a new series. It's a new year. And the series that will start is titled Underrated. How many of you have ever felt underrated? A lot of you. Could someone step up and give us an example of how they were underrated? Just one person.
Yeah, so there was this day, just started school, that was A-levels, then my physics teacher walked in, and the first few lines he told us was that no one's going to pass. Like, he said like 50% is like the pass, like the highest. Then the rest of us are just going to get like 20 and below. So yes, I felt like very underrated.
Ah, okay. Anyone else? Last example from this side. I saw some hands up this side. An example of how you felt underrated. There? No, the mic.
I was studying for my grade 9 exams. Then my auntie came. Then she was like, no matter how you study, you're not going to pass.
Wow. But did you pass? Ah, great stuff. Cool. You know, in this world that we live in, people look down upon us, especially young people. Especially young people. Have you ever been in a conversation with older people? Maybe they're talking about politics, and then you give a suggestion, and then they look at you in a funny way. Have you ever experienced that? Because they're like, in their mind, they're like, what can you tell me? You're just 16 years. You're just 15 years. And this series is all about that. Because in the Bible, there was also a young man who was also underestimated. He was underrated. And we're going to look at his story. And we're going to get some examples from there and some lessons. And the advice that he was given. Who would want to guess who that person was? A young person. Close. Ah, no, not close. No. Another one? No. Timothy. Cool. So the PowerPoint says, the definition of being underrated says, estimate something to be smaller or less important than it really is. Then the other definition is regard someone as less capable than they really are. And you know what? In history, we've had people who've been underestimated. We've had people that have been underrated and they still managed to achieve results. So I'll give three examples. The first example will be a soccer example, football example. How many of you watch soccer? So in 2015, there's a club that shocked the whole world. This club, what did you say? Oh, Arsenal. Ah, no, not Arsenal. Now, this club had a budget, had a spending budget of only £27 million. The other big clubs like Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and which other one? And the other ones, they had budgets, spending budgets of about 200 million, 300 million, just to buy players. And yet this small club, Leicester City, only had 27 million to spend. Everyone did not think they could win anything. And yet they surprised everyone. They started beating clubs one by one. Chelsea down, Man U down, Man City down, Arsenal down. All those down, you know. And they ended up winning. And everyone was shocked. And do you know why they won? Because everyone underrated them. They were like, ah, this is a small club. What can it do? And yet, it surprised everyone. Another example is in 19... How many of you love history? History. Okay, cool. I'll teach you a bit of history then. How many of you know John F. Kennedy? You know him? Oh, I thought we don't know him. So, John F. Kennedy was one of the presidents of the United States. He was a president between 1960 and 1963. And he was shot in Dallas in 1963, November. But he was a good president. Now, the person behind John F. Kennedy was called... the campaign manager, his brother was called Bobby Kennedy. His other name was Robert Kennedy. Now, Robert Kennedy, when John F. Kennedy became president, Robert Kennedy was just 35 years old, and he was appointed as the Attorney General for the whole United States of America at 35 years. And people were not happy. You know why they were not happy? He was young. They were like, what can he do? 35 years, being the Attorney General. And he surprised people. So he was the Attorney General from 1961 to 63. And yet what he did, he helped the civil rights movement. So that was the issue of the blacks and the whites, those separations that was happening in America. He helped ensure that the blacks have rights. He helped also in ensuring that organized crime. So he fought organized crime. So the mafias who were there, he fought them head on. And yet he was just 35 years old. And people were so shocked that a 35-year-old could do much in just 3 years. He was young, but he did a lot. Those other attorney generals before him who were 60 years didn't even do much. And yet they had experience. And so the thing that you underrate, the thing that you underestimate can still do, still has potential to do great things. The other example is David and Goliath. Most of you know it. David was called this boy. What can this boy do to me? And yet that same boy killed a giant. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. You see, Timothy was a young person. We don't know how old he was, but the Bible says he was young. And young means maybe between 20 and 35, roughly, or 15 to 35. We estimate around that age group. And Timothy was a pastor of a church of a membership of 30,000 people. Now, our church has a membership of about 3,000, 4,000. Now you can imagine, 30,000 people, you are the pastor, and you're a young person, 20 years, 18 years, 19 years. And people started looking down on Timothy. They were like, this is a boy. What can a boy do? You know? And so, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to Timothy, giving him some instructions on what he should do. And so, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul is telling Timothy, look, let no one, don't allow anyone to look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Let no one, in vernacular we say, no, not vernacular. Chibemba. Bemba is crazy for me. Anyway, when I remember the phrase, I'll share with you. Let no one look down upon you. Let no one. Don't allow anyone to look down upon you. But what do you do? rather in speech. Conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. So what he was trying to say here is this. If someone comes to you, an older person, and is looking down upon you, you as a young person, don't allow... So, you shouldn't be rude, of course. You know? Show them love. You know? Show them love. Don't be rude. Don't say, hey, you're like an old man. What can you say? Uh-uh. That's not what you're saying here. He was talking about how you can still be an example, even in your youthfulness. In fact, the Passion Translation gives it even more clarity. It says, and don't be intimidated. Are we sometimes intimidated by older people? Like me, are you intimidated by me? But like older people, are you intimidated by older people? You are, right? Are you? He's not. Cool. The Passion Translation says this, and don't be intimidated by those who are older than you, simply by the example they need to see, by being faithful and true in all that you do. Speak the truth and live a life of purity and authentic love as you remain strong in your faith. Paul talks about four things that we need to do. We need to be an example in our words, in our conduct, in our faith, and love, and purity. And I'm going to explain each one of these clearly. We'll start with words. How can you set an example in your words? Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 18, verse 21. How can you be an example in your words? And you know, words. How many of you someone has ever said something bad that you still remember it to this day? I remember when I was growing up, I was just 15 years old. Is it 14? Somewhere there. And my mom had given me instructions to do the cooking shima and the like. But I didn't do it well. So when she came back, she was upset and the like. And because that time I was just changing hormones and all. It's not an excuse, but I had hormones and all. I had a short temper. I just said something that to this day I regret. So I grew up with just guys. So we're just boys in our family. So there were no girls. So I told my mom. So because I was upset, so I told my mom, it's not my fault that you don't have a girl. She cried. After that, of course, I repented and I asked God to help me control my tongue, self-control, to help me with my temper. And 15 years later, I think he's changed a few things, you know. But words have a way of piercing the soul. Words hurt. And so here Timothy is saying, be an example in the what you say. Do the things that you say bless people or do they curse? So in that circumstance, that situation with my mom, what I said really hurt my mom to a point where she started crying. So Proverbs 18 verse 21 says this, Watch what you say about yourself and others. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. So what are you saying? What words come out from your mouth? Are you an example to other believers with what you say? And this can, we can also align this with social media. Because it's what you are saying. What things are you sharing? Because the thing that you share is what, because if I share, so on Facebook, if I share something about, let's say, a scripture, for example, that's what I believe in, right? You share what you believe in, right? So if you share something about, no, I gave, or that girl gave me head or something. It's what you believe in, right? Are you setting an example? Are you setting an example to other believers? And then, even you as a Christian, you also like it. You even tag your other friend. Come and see. Are you being an example with what you say? Are you being an example? The other one is this conduct. This is the way we live our lives, our lifestyle. How do you conduct yourself at home, at school, at church? Are you a different person everywhere? 007. This side you are this person, this side you are the other person. To a point where people are even shocked. Ah, you go to church? Serious? Ah, even me, I'm going to heaven, can't she? If they even give statements like, if that one is going to heaven, I'm also going to heaven. Is that how your conduct is? Do people know that you're a Christian? So that even when they start underestimating you, they're like, ah, I can't underestimate Dalis. His conduct is that of Christ. But why are people laughing? This is just an example, right? So with conduct, the scripture is Colossians 4, verse 5 to 6. In the Message Bible, it says this. Be an example to the world. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. So, in your conversation, are you always pulling others down? PhD, pull others down. Is it? No. Pull him down, sorry. Or pull her down. Do you have that mentality of just pulling others down? Busy gossiping about your friends. Is that your conduct? There's a song we used to sing back in the day, a chorus. I can't sing it, I'll just say the words. Someone even said amen. Cool. We used to sing like this. They are watching you, marking all you do, hearing to what you say. Let them see the Savior as he shines in you. Let his power control you every day. I think the last verse I've forgotten. But they are watching you. The non-Christians are watching you. The older people are watching you. Be an example to us all. Your conduct should be that of Jesus Christ. How's your dressing? Whether male or female, it's both. Sometimes we focus too much on the females. No, dress, don't dress mini skirts. But even the guys, muscle like this, tight. Why is it tight? Why do you want it to be tight? The jean. It's not right. It's not. Of course, even the females, mini skirts, we don't want to see everything. That is for your husband. Guys, that body is for your wife in future. Even the aspect of sharing nude photos to each other. Why? How is that glorifying God? How is that glorifying God? Why can't you share scriptures? Why can't you share scriptures? Why can't you share equations? Mathematical equations. Your conduct should be that like Jesus Christ. The other one is faith and love. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39 says, love God and love one another. Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. So, you need to ask yourself, even when I'm about to speak, it should be words of love. Not words that will pierce your friend's heart. Love your God, first of all. Of course, the first commandment says, love God with all your heart. So, making God a priority. And then the second one will be, love. The way you love yourself is the way you should love your friend. So, if I want 2 cakes, I should also give my friend 2 cakes. If my friend has no bundles, may I have? I should share. Because you want to communicate. So you want your friend to also have what you have. Share. Jesus Christ gave up his life. You can also give up your bundles. Even for the building campaign. Those bundles where you are forwarding the videos, the memes, posting on WhatsApp, all those things, you can sacrifice some bundles and contribute to the building. But the sharing is not male to female. In the scripture, it doesn't say this one that we are at. It just says, love your neighbor. So male, female, female, male. Either. When God speaks to you, be willing to share what you have. All right? Then the last one is on purity. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13 says, your body is a vessel of worship. Your body is a vessel of worship. Your body is not for that chap who is not married to you, that boyfriend, whatever his name is, to just touch you. Ah, your body is a vessel of worship. Another version says, is the temple. You are a temple. And then it goes on to say, you know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporal thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors you with a body, honor him with your body. With food. Don't overeat. Your body is a temple. Keep it well. You can't have all the cake. Where kache? No. Share. On the aspect of sex, it's not me. It says here, it's the Bible. This is God. Or indulging it with sex. Now another version says, fornication. Now fornication is sex before marriage. Now if God has given you that body, is that body supposed to be used for sex before marriage? But why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? Are we tired of waiting? The pressures of life? Everyone is doing it. Are you sure everyone is doing it? Did you actually ask everyone, have you done it? Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you done it? Everyone is not doing it. Not everyone is doing it. Not everyone is doing it. Just because four of your friends have done it. But are you even sure that they've done it? Because they can be lying. They can be lying. And you just say yes to that guy. Or even for you guys, you have pressure. You want to show yourself as a man. At the lock-ins, they were telling you about what? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Now, how can you... Men wait, first of all. Men wait. Real men have patience. Real men have patience. Real women have patience. It's both sides. Both wait. And of course, God has mercy. Today we're in church, Pastor Benjamin was talking about a compassionate God. Yes, God is compassionate. We've made mistakes. All of us have. I also made mistakes. Some of the leaders also made mistakes. And God forgave us. And we decided no more going back. We're going forward. We've decided to follow Jesus. We've decided to follow Jesus. We're not turning back. We're not going back to bad company. We're not going back to the worldly influences. We're not going back. We're going forward with Jesus Christ. Because He will help us. And Jesus will help you have self-control. He will. And it's possible, even today, it's possible to remain pure from today till you marry. It's very, very possible. It's very possible. It's been achieved before. Unless if it hadn't been achieved, but it has been achieved before. So God is a God of another chance. Today He's giving you another chance. It's a new year. Some of you have new resolutions. Resolutions to pass, to have a business, to have a boyfriend, to have a girlfriend. Why can't you have a resolution to stay pure? Why can't you have a resolution to have your body as a vessel of worship? Because that's the only way you're going to set an example to those who underrate you. to those who underestimate you. That's the only way you're going to set an example. That's the only way. God is merciful. God is compassionate. God is love. God is good. And He's waiting upon you to come to Him. Some of you have burdens. Maybe you have thoughts of condemnation. No, I made this mistake. I slept with this person. And right now I feel dirty. God, Jesus is saying, come. Just as you are, come. Come. And I will cleanse you. I will clean you. And we'll start a new chapter. A new chapter of being pure, of having a conduct like Jesus Christ, of having speech like Jesus Christ, loving like Jesus Christ, having faith like Jesus Christ. Let's start that journey this year, 2019. 2019 should be a year where you start afresh. Yes, 2018 is the past. We're forgetting the former things. We are forgetting the former things. Behold, new things have come. Jesus has come. Jesus has come to forgive your sins. Whether you've been watching pornography, you've been masturbating, you've been flirting with that girl or guy, today is the day to start afresh. There is redemption. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you are a God that is compassionate. Thank you, Father, that you are slow to anger. Thank you, Father, that you remember our sins no more when we ask for forgiveness. And today, if there are people, the youths here who want to start afresh. You just want to start afresh. You are tired of your living. You are tired of living a life of sin. Today is the day that you can start afresh. If you are that person, raise up your hand and the leader will come to you. You want to start afresh. You are tired. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. You are tired of lying. You are tired of stealing. You are tired of disobeying your parents. You are tired. And you just say, Lord, I want to start anew. And I want to start a new life. Today is the day. And Father, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us today. We want to thank you that you are a good, good Father. You have been good in the past. You are good now, and you will be good in the future. Thank you, Father, that even as we leave this place, that you go before us, you protect us, and we arrive home safely. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.